May we begin by singing hymn number 7. Number 7. You know this little hymn preaches the gospel within itself. And oh, this is one hymn that I love to give out every time I stand up to tell out the good news. God loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Salvation full at highest cost, he offers free to all. Oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love, the love of God to me. It brought my Savior from above to die on Calvary. Someone start it, will you?
Oh,
some precious ministry here in the last 2 days for us. And we've had two wonderful gospel messages. Yes, our brother Saturday night brought before us the sovereignty of God. Yes. And our brother last night brought before us the judgment. Yes. Those that will go out of this world without the Lord Jesus. And where they would go to. Yes. So tonight, I'm going to try to speak to you on going to heaven. Yes, where you'll go to. You know, there's only two places. You know, I'm talking to the people from day to day about where you're going. Where you're going when you leave here. That's a good question. Every once in a while you have an opportunity to ask, where are you going when you leave here? Well, for a few moments they don't grasp what you mean. Then directly they'll say, well, I don't know. Well, where can you go? Well, most everybody will tell you there's two places to go. Two places. Yes, there are only two places. Where do we find that? We find it from God's Word, don't we? Sure do. You know, yesterday, a day, there was a little tract handed to me by a brother. I think he's still here. And so I just looked over the heading of this little tract, and I find in it, the Lord Jesus is coming to take all born again Christians to heaven. Well, I thought, what a wonderful thing that is. Yes, he's coming to take all born again Christians to heaven. Of course, you're a Christian when you're born again. Take all those that are born again to heaven. Now, that's a wonderful place, isn't it? Yes. So we'll turn to the most familiar portion to all of us, the third chapter of the Gospel of John. Yes, the third chapter of the Gospel of John. That's where we get that record. And so we'll look at it tonight. And beginning with verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou dost except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born to the flesh is flesh. That which is born to the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it come or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born to the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Now we'll go down to verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I'd like to tell this for the benefit of the younger ones. The story went like this. There was a country church, and there was a brother that had been there and had pastured this for many years. And the boys and girls there had heard him since childhood. And they'd grown up, got larger, larger. Every time this old brother would get up to speak, he would come across the phrase, "You must be born again." Yes, so whether it was Sunday school, whether it was the morning preaching, whether it was the night. Well, a group of the young boys, they heard him there all their lives, and so they decided that perhaps it had just grown such a habit with his brother that he didn't realize what he was saying. They didn't want to hurt his feelings. They all loved him. And so they talked about it a while. They decided that two or three of them would get together and just call his attention to it and remind him of it. And so they did. So they called this brother out and told him that, "Now, brother, we've all left you, and we wouldn't hurt your feelings for anything in the world. But we just wanted to call something to your attention that perhaps you don't realize." And so they said, "You know, every time you get up to speak to us or anything, why, you come across this phrase, 'Ye must be born again.' Why do you do it?" Well, the old brother stood there for a second or two and looked down, and he raised up and says, "Ye must be born again." So that's why tonight, to ever get into heaven, you've got to be born again. That's right. Sure is. Ye must be born again. I went into a hall once, and I saw over the door of it, "Born once and die twice. Born twice and die once." Well, how true that is. Yes. You know, one that's not born again will never do anything but die. That's right. Because death starts off with you in this scene. We look at these nice little babies and how beautiful and innocent they are. But just think that death is trailing right on with them. And it's going to overtake them one day. Yes, it will. It's going to overtake you one day. And it's certainly going to overtake the speaker too one day. Yes, it is. But and if you go on without the Lord Jesus, all you're doing is dying. And you know, here lately, I've thought about those that die without the Lord Jesus. What happens to them? They just die, 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 and die. That's right. That's right. You go into a place of death. Right. Oh, what an awful thing it is. Yes. But if you'll turn to the Lord, yes, receive the Lord Jesus Christ, then you can't do anything but live, live, and live. What a wonderful difference. Yes, what a difference. You know, I often say to the men in the jail, the difference between heaven and hell is not how good you've been or how bad you've been. That's what we're taught all around us today. If I'm a good fella, yes, why then, I'm all right. But if I'm a bad fella, I'm all wrong. You know, there's an expression in the world today, and it's firmly believed that when the judgment day comes, my bad works will be put over here, my good ones over here, And if my bad ones outweigh the good ones, why, then I dump off in the pit. Yeah. But if my good ones outweigh the bad ones, then I go up to heaven. Yeah. Well, you know, that suits the old nature. They'd like to think that. And as a fella said to me once, be careful there. I'll have to kind of step off on them balancers there for you. Yeah. So, but that isn't true. That isn't true at all. Oh, no. The difference between heaven and hell is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. The Lord Jesus Christ. I might have told this before, but during the war, I worked with a feller. He was a fine fellow. And I talked to him nearly every day about the Lord. And he'd been raised in a Christian home. And I told him he needed the Lord as Savior. And he would repeatedly say to me, I've got to do something. Well, he meant by works. Now, Brother Gladding said last night, they didn't believe there was any good works that the sinner could do. Well, I don't believe there is either in the sight of God, but there sure is in his own eyes. Yes, there sure is in his eyes, because he never has done nothing bad. No, it's all good. So, and so he would point out to me, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I've got to do this. And I would say to him, Jack, you can do everything you know what to do, as long as you want to do it, and leave the Lord Jesus out, you'll be lost. You'll be lost. Yes, how true that is. So we live in a day when people, when all around us, and you young people, are not shielded from it no more than anyone else. Yes, you'll hear it. That you've got to do something. Yes, good to be saved. But you know, Christ died for sinners. Yes, I come not to call the righteous, but sinners. So here tonight we have a record of a man, no doubt he was a good fellow. I have no doubt, but what if you had known Nicodemus in his lifetime, you would have known, as my father used to say, a high-toned gentleman. You would. You would have known a man that kept every bit of the law, went right along with it, a man that you couldn't point your finger at. Not at all. He was a moral and an upright man. We've got no way to doubt it at all. Because we find that the Lord says to him, I didn't read that verse, art thou a master or a teacher in Israel? Yes, we find that he was. But we find something else about Nicodemus. And that is, and what a glorious thing it is, he came to Jesus. He came to Jesus. Well, he come to the right source to get the right information as what to do. And I want to tell you tonight, if you're without the Lord Jesus Christ, if you'll come to him, it makes no difference of how feeble way you come, you'll get the right instructions. You'll get the right way. Because he says in John, 14th of John and verse 6, I'm the way. I'm the way. Oh, isn't that a wonderful thing? I am the way. So we find that Nicodemus was a ruler, he says here, of the Jews. But he came to Jesus by night. Well, he was in the darkness. He couldn't have come no other way. No doubt, it's dark like it is outdoors. But every sinner is in the darkness. He never comes to the light until he comes to Christ. Because Scripture says of those that are saved, you pass from darkness unto light. That? Pass from darkness unto light. And what a wonderful thing it is to pass from darkness unto light. Now Nicodemus was not satisfied with what he had. Are you satisfied with what you got? Now you may be going on with something that seems all right and seems good. Yes. Now, many years ago, Preacher Wright used to use this phrase. I never did like it. It may be all right to live by, but it won't do to die by. Well, I didn't like that phrase. I never thought that something that wasn't all right to live by wasn't all right to die by. No, sir. Oh, I've got it reversed. It wasn't good enough to die by. It wasn't good enough to live by. It wasn't. So, Nicodemus wasn't satisfied. And you know, that's a wonderful state to come in and become dissatisfied. Yes. Now you know, as long as a sinner is satisfied in the state he's in, why then, you're not going to change him. No. He has to realize that he's a lost sinner. And as dear old Brother Ryan says, not only a lost sinner, but a helpless lost sinner. Brother Ryan says, Satan will tell you you're a sinner. Satan will tell you you're a lost sinner. But Satan will never tell you you're a lost, helpless sinner. Oh, yeah. So, we must realize that we're not only lost, but we're helpless. And we have to come to someone else for a source of help. So, now here's a story that was told long before I was saved. Long before I was saved. Brother Scott, that lived at Rome. I suppose there's some in here who can remember Brother Scott. Brother Scott was from Winnipeg, Canada. I'll never forget that. Yeah, from Winnipeg, Canada. And he preached the gospel faithful that Rome. In my father's home, you know, we had a great, he had the house built, a great big room. It's built in an octagon shape like that. Well, they held gospel meetings there every year, held a series of them. And then periodically on Sunday nights, while the room would be packed, Brother Scott would preach the gospel there. Brother Scott used more illustrations in the gospel than any other one I ever heard preach the gospel in my life. Yes. And many of those illustrations still linger in my mind. And this is one of them. And it comes to mind tonight. There was a man on board of a vessel. And he was very unruly. And they couldn't get him to obey the orders. And so they would take him and put him down in the brig. Put him down there and keep him so long. Take him out. So he'd go right back and disobey again. They'd put him back and put him on bread and water and things. Didn't help a bit. So one fellow suggested that they open the hatch in the bottom of the ship down there, a hole what goes down under where the blast floor is, and put him down there where there's nothing but just old scummy water, you know, and creeping things, and dark and all, and maybe that would bring him to himself. So captain said, well, we've done everything else, let's try that too. So they did that. They put him down in that hole, and he stayed down there a while, and well, you're willing to obey orders and straighten up? I'm all right. Well, they kept him down there several hours longer, and no, he was all right. The captain got a little uneasy about it. You know, it's damp down there. So one of the other sailors says, Captain, let's bring a light and drop down there and let him see where he's at. Yes. So when the light shone down there, he saw what a tolerable place he was in. All those creeping things, all that stormy water. He began to yell and cry, yes, I'm willing to obey. Yes, I'm willing. Yes, let me out. And I want to tell you now, if you are lost without Christ here tonight, let the light shine into your heart and soul. Yes, it'll show you the place you're in, the position you're in. Until the light shines in, you'll never see. Oh, don't close your heart. Don't close your mind to the gospel of the grace of God. Don't close your ear to that little quiet, still voice that speaks to your heart and soul. Because I want to tell you, may not speak no more. May not speak no more. None of us have a promise of tomorrow. How that has been stressed here. None of us have a lease on life. None of us have got a promise that we'll get home tonight. But as the dear brother said yesterday, if he didn't be home in the glory. Can you say that? Can you say that? Oh, what a wonderful hope there is for the believer. So Nicodemus, here he wasn't satisfied. He wasn't satisfied with what he had. No, the law could never save nobody. Could never take you to heaven. No, it couldn't. Give you a life here on this scene. Yes, give you a life here. But you had to be under a strain always. But the Lord wants to give you life eternal in a place of perfect perfectness. Certainly does. Oh, what a wonderful thing. So Nicodemus came to Jesus. Came to Jesus. This is one of the three nights in Scripture. Sure is, you know. Three nights. One of them is when Judas betrayed the Lord and he went out. It's dark. It's night. The other, this man built a barn, you know. Yeah. He had plenty. Soul, soul, take thy ease. Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. What's the answer to it? Yes. Yes. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. What if that is said of you? Yes. And I'll tell you, if you haven't come to the Lord, you're still in the night. It'll be required of you in the night. You'll never be in the light. You'll never know what light is. Never know. So now, as Nicodemus, he talks to the Lord here, you know, he knew there was something about the Lord that was different. He could see it. Yes, he could see it. So then, he asked the Lord a question, but the Lord doesn't get in discussions with us. And so the Lord said to Nicodemus, there got to be a change. There got to be a change. Yes. He must be born again. Oh, that was news to him. He never heard of it. Never heard of it. And one of the first things Nicodemus does, starts reasoning. Starts reasoning. Is that what you've been doing for many years? That's what I did. I reasoned. Yes. Put it off. I'll tell you, there's a many a soul in a lost eternity Because they put it off one day too long. Put it off. Put it off. As I've told before, one night as I was going out of the jail many years ago, used to go up there on the top floor, you know, they locked you up in it. And then when you got through speaking, you had to shake on the door and then wait till the jailer got through whatever he's doing and come unlock the door and let you out. Well, I'd spoke to the men that night, and a fellow that I'd known a long time. And he was there. And I began, had to wait him again to talk to him. I put my arms around him and said, Bud, he was there for drinking. It ruined a life with drink. Yes. He was one of the best shoe salesmen that ever sold a pair of shoes. Had once a business of his own, but he drank it up. He got a job, he couldn't hold it, drank it up. And of course he wound up there. That's what sin does for you boys and girls. It never stops taking you down till it gets you down in the lake of fire. That's what sin does for you. So poor Bud, I put my arms around him. He told me what he wanted to do. He'd lost his family. He'd lost his wife and children had left him. He didn't have anything. And I said, Bud, what you need is the Lord. Won't you take the Lord as Savior? And I pleaded with him there, I suppose, for 10 or 15 minutes. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do, John. I'll take him next Friday night. I'll take Jesus next Friday night. I said, Bud, I might not get back next Friday night. Yeah. I said, Bud, the Lord might come for next Friday night. I take him now, Bud. Take him now. No, he said, John, I tell you, I'll take him next Friday night. You come back, I'll take him next Friday. I said, Bud, you may not be here. Well, I went out to lock the door. I'll see you next Friday night. On a Saturday night, they carried him out of that jailhouse. Just as dead as he is right now. That's right. Where he is, I don't know. Oh, I trust that he took Jesus as Savior. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Nicodemus didn't put off coming to Christ. He didn't put off coming to Jesus. Don't put it off. If you are here tonight without the Lord Jesus. No, it's a sad and solemn thing. Because, as we talked together there last night, a few of us brothers got together. What an awful place hell is. The lake of fire. What an awful place it is. Yes. So now, we must go on. So he says to him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Began to try to figure it out. Yes, don't do that. Don't do that. You can't figure it out. It's faith that saves you, not reason. Yes, faith that saves you. For by grace are we saved through faith. That not of ourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Jesus answered, and verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. First thing, you can't see it. You're not born again. You can't see the beauties of Christ. You don't know what there is for the believer. Oh no, how people today would like to know of the things of the Lord. How they would like to enjoy what the believer enjoys. But they don't want Christ. They don't want Him. But you can't have it without it. You can't have it.
And so, the Lord says, then you cannot enter
the kingdom of God. You can't get in either. You can't get in. Now you know, I want to pause right here on this verse, because down our way, and I suppose they're here too, we have those that teach that unless you are baptized, you can't be saved. And this is one of the verses they use, you know. Yes. Well, I want to tell you, except a man be born to the water, and that's not talking about this water that I got in this glass or something like it. No, it's what I've got in this glass, as you children learn, is H2O. But he's talking about the water of the Word. Yes. What the Spirit of God can take and apply to your heart and soul, convict your conscience. The Word of God. They'll never use nothing else. Yes, the Word of God. And so, it's the Word, except this, and the water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Well, now Nicodemus was a Jew, and Nicodemus no doubt was looking for the kingdom of God. Nicodemus' heart was set on being in the kingdom of God. Yes. Now, are your heart set on going to heaven? And all my talking, as far as I can remember, I never talked to but one man that didn't believe there was no heaven. I've talked to plenty that didn't believe there was any hell. But I've only talked to one that didn't believe there was neither one. That's right. Well, I want to tell you, the same book that tells you of one tells you of the other. That's right. Without the Word of God, we wouldn't know anything about either one. So then why should we believe about one and not the other? So, Nicodemus here was looking forward to going to the kingdom. Now, you can take a canvas of this group of people or any group of people and ask them, do they want to go to heaven? And you'll find everybody wants to go to heaven. And 99% of everybody, whether they're saved or lost, are expecting to get to go to heaven when they die. That's right. By some way or another, they believe that God is going to let the gap down and let him in. That's right. But that's not true. That's not true. Not at all. And so, Nicodemus now, God was telling him, the Lord was, there had to be a change. And there had to be a change in you and in me if I get to heaven. That's right. I'm speaking about now in the natural way. Thank God 30-some-odd years ago there was a change took place in me. Yes. And I trust that there has been in everybody in this room. But if there hasn't been a change, don't go out that door tonight without it. Don't do that. Don't do that. No. So, the Lord says to him, that which is born to the flesh is flesh, and it will always be that. It'll always be that. Now we know that there's every move on hand today to reform the flesh, the old man. But the old man is not going to do a thing in the world but die under the judgment of God. It is certainly pointed out here that he was under the judgment of God. Yes. He's going to die under it. And if you stay that way, you'll die under it and be under it for all eternity. What a sad thing. What a sad thing. Oh, yes. Now, that's why the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus,
Not one time, not two times, but three times. Oh, yes. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word should be established, Scripture tells us. Oh, what a marvelous thing here that this is recorded three times. You must be born again. It's an important thing. It's an important thing. And how important it is. That which is born to the flesh is flesh. And that which is born to the Spirit is spirit. Two definite separate things. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We had pointed out here to us that there was, who was it, Phil, about the dogs? Yes, the Indian. About the dogs in us. Yes. Two natures in us. Yes, sure is. And so, now, if we're going to get to heaven, ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. Because the only people that'll ever be there is sinners born again. That's all. Only folks that will ever be there is born again. Because in heaven, God has got a family. Got a family. It's what it is. And it's made up of lost souls washed in the precious blood of Jesus. The only way into the family of God is to be born into that family. Now, how simple this is. The Lord Jesus took one of the most simplest and the most common things to explain to Nicodemus how to get to heaven. That's right. There has been a change in most everything that man has done on earth. Except the way of being born into this world. That's right. Yes. We've all come down the same channel. Yes. No difference. And I want to say to you, there's no difference in me, you, or anyone else getting into heaven. We have to be born again. They must be a change. Yes, there is. Not a reform. Not a doing over. God doesn't take the old nature and do it over. Not at all. Not any part of it's going to be there. Not any part of it. This brother sitting right here said to me at supper table that night, I believe it is there, after 1,000 years of the millennial reign, perhaps he said it this afternoon here. I just thought about that. After 1,000 years of the millennial reign, the old nature will not be changed one bit. It'll still, at the end of that marvelous reign of almost heaven on earth, it'll rise up against God. Certainly will. Yes. If you couldn't change a person in 1,000 years, there's no change. No change. That's right. The old nature won't change. Got to be born again. Yes. God will have no part of it. He's got it brand new. Brand new. Oh, what a marvelous thing. So, that's what he says. That which is born to the flesh is flesh, and that which is born to the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee. It's a personal thing. A personal thing. Yes, ye must be born again. This is one of the musts in the Bible. There's several of them, but this is one of them. No other way. My name is Lloyd. 61 years ago, I was born in the Lloyd family. That's right. And there's no possible way for me to get out of it. And I want to say to you, there's no possible way for you to get in it either. No. The only avenue into the Lord family is by birth. That's right. By birth. Unless you are born in it, you cannot get into it. I ran into one of the most remarkable examples of that back during the winter. There was a man had a tractor. We did some work on it or something, doesn't it? And so he was a man about 50 years old. Right at 50 years old. And I talked to him. He was there for several days. And I talked to him about the Lord. I asked him if he was saved. He said no. He began to give me a nice routine of how he'd lived and what he had done. Then I brought up to him, ye must be born again, that you cannot get into heaven without being born again. A brand new start. Being a new. God doesn't want the old. So I used the illustration. Just what I told him. The only way in. You know, he says, my name is not Dingler. I knew him as Mr. Dingler. He'd give me checks and sign his name Mr. Dingler. I got money on the checks, Mr. Dingler. And I said, well, he's Mr. Dingler. Sir. When I got through talking to him, he told me with tears in his eyes, he says, I've never had anything that fits so in all my life. He says, you know, my name's not Dingler. He told me, at best I can remember, his name was Wilson. He says, when I was born, why, my mother was a Dingler. My father was a Wilson. And my father was drafted in the army as a young doctor. And he stayed in the army, World War II, till he was about 6 or 7 years old. And then, when he came back out of the army, my grandfather wouldn't give me up. And so my mother and my father had to live in the house with them, or either leave me there. And says, they wouldn't live there. My father and my mother just gave me to my grandfather. My grandfather's name Dingler. And said, I took on the name Dingler. But says, I'm not a Dingler. And I can't get in the Dingler family. No, there was only one way. Well, I trust that it reached his heart and conscience. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, he talked to me with tremble, with tears in his eyes. Said there's nothing that ever explained it so in his life to me. No, there was no way into the Dingler family for him. There's no way into the family of God for you unless you're born again. Yes. There's no possible chance for you to ever go to heaven without being born again. No possible chance. Yes. You may reform. You may change. You may live the most perfect moral life of anyone in your community. And all of that. But that won't take you into the presence of a holy and a righteous God. No, it won't. There's no place there for the old nature. Not at all. When we are born again, we have a brand new start. Yes. A brand new start. Beginning a new life. And that life is found in Christ Jesus, God's beloved Son. Certainly is. Oh, what a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing it is to know from the Word of God that you're one of the Lord's, that you've been born again and on your way to heaven. Yes? We sing that hymn, Grace and Judgment Are Behind Us. Oh, I got it wrong, isn't it?
Death and judgment.
Death and judgment are behind us. Grace and glory is before us. Oh, what a wonderful thing. Yes, death and judgment are behind us. Yes, but I'll tell you, if you haven't been born again, it's death and judgment's in front of you. Yes, it's in front of you. That's all the whole world has got to look for. That's all a lost sinner's got to look for, is death and judgment. What an awful thing. What an awful thing. I'll tell you, it's a good thing. You know, the men in the jail, they all droop, you know, and feeling bad. And you can reach them very easily and say, what does life hold for you anyway? I want to say to you tonight, what does life hold for you anyway? Without your hope in Christ, what would it hold for you? Yes. Colossians says to us, Christ in you is the hope of glory. If you haven't got Christ in your heart and soul tonight, I want to say to you from God's word, you haven't got any hope for glory. No, no real hope. No. You may, as I said a while ago, the outer appearance may be fine. Outer appearance may be fine. And how sad it is as we go about today to talk to real fine people, but to realize in your soul and to believe they've never been born again. What a sad, sad thing. Now as we will close, I want to go down to this last portion, and this will tell us, yes, how we can be born again. Why? And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Another must here. Yes, before I could have that new nature, before I could be born again, before I could be on my road to heaven, there must be one would come down and pay the price to God for my sins. Yes, it was. And I want to say to you, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son, was willing to leave the heights of glory. Yes, leave the heights of glory. And as dear old Dr. Dashwood could bring out, he would pray out the diadems of glory. I can't bring it out as he did. But you could just sit there and listen to him of what the Lord, where the Lord was before he left it and come down into this scene. When he come down here, he come down into sin and woe. That's what he did. Sin on every side, on every turn. That's what you see today. That's what he come. He left that place. He came down here and took a place as a babe in the manger. And grew up into this world, and there went to the cross of Calvary, yes, and allowed man to lift him up, lift him up. That's what they did. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, Numbers 21 tells us about it. Yes, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What for? To pay the price to God for my sins and yours, that we could be fit for that place where he come from. Where he come from. Yes. So must the Son of Man be lifted up. And that isn't all of it. Yes. That whosoever...
Oh, you know, many years ago, I was laying on a couch reading the precious word of God. And I run across that word, whosoever. You know, I just rejoiced in soul for quite a while because that took me in. You know, there was a time that you and I were left out. Yes, left out. But that takes you in tonight, sinner friend. If you're here without Christ, yes, you're taken in. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Maybe I'm mixing up. But whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Yes. Not dying now, are you? No. No, if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. When you receive him as Savior, you're born again. Yes, you're born into the family of God. Then you have life, life, and life. Yes, never without it. What a precious thing. So in closing, I'll say again, there be one here that's without the Lord Jesus tonight. Take him. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Because we have no promise that any of us will get home. So, may we sing hymn number 35. Hymn number 35. Thank you.